Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. Isaiah, chapter 40. We'll read verses 1 through 6 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 1 through 6. Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 1 through 6. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert the highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, Cry. And he said, What shall I cry? All flesh is as grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. I'll read yet one other verse to you. You need not turn there. Psalm 113, verse 9, the Bible says, He maketh the barren woman to keep house, and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for such a special day. Lord, the fact that you said one day a week we set aside called Sunday, we meet, we get to see your hand and your work in a special way. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Lord, we're a needy people. We're in need of the message that you have through him from you today. May we listen. May we take it to heart. May you change our lives because of it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I will not always give a sermon on a special day like Mother's Day, Christmas, or Easter that pertains to that particular day. But today I will. I want to talk about mothers. For some, this day is better than others. But let's make it a great day for everyone that we can, and let's try to influence everyone to enjoy Mother's Day. You see, there are some ladies here who somehow their bodies have not allowed them to bring forth children. So Mother's Day is a little sensitive and a little touchy for them. And I've already thought of them today, and I want you to know your preacher cares about the fact that your body has not allowed that. God knows what he's doing. You just trust God and believe that God knows best. Yet there are others where maybe moms are away from their children because of distance. There are those who mama has passed away in recent days, and therefore the healing process is a little more difficult and their hearts are a little more tender. The ones that I may feel the strongest about comforting for a moment would be those who have children who have passed on before mama. Maybe one of the most difficult burdens that a lady or a parent could bear is that the kids pass away before the parents do. Of course, if the natural happens in life, usually mom and dad pass away and go on to heaven before the kids. But in that occasion where a mama or a dad are still living and their children have passed on, I say to you that, again, your God loves you and your preacher loves you. And I hope that this day that you will think of the good times and that you will be able to enjoy Mother's Day. Mother's Day is a very special day. In 1906, Miss Anna Jarvis of Philadelphia observed the very first Mother's Day in memory of her mother. She felt that others would share her feelings, and so she began a nationwide movement to have this special day to be observed. Most every heart in the country was moved by her suggestion of this special day that we call Mother's Day. Little by little, from the early 1900s, this idea has grown. The Congress of the United States of America, by way of a formal act, set this side a day as a special one. The president of our country back then placed his approval on it and recommended the observance of Mother's Day. It is now not only a national holiday, but it is also an international holiday. You see, it doesn't matter what race, it doesn't matter what country, it does not matter what language. Mama means the same just everywhere you go. God's greatest gift to man was Jesus and all for which Jesus Christ stood. If I had to pick what the second greatest creation and the second greatest gift to man could have been from God, it was probably Mama. Mama. Mama being second to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it was Mother in whom we lived before we were born. If you can imagine that. Now, some of you, there ain't no chance she could carry you again. You've put on a little since then. But thank God. Thank God that we were a part of Mom. It was Mother who entered into the valley of the shadow of death to give us life. It was Mother who was most concerned that our needs in regard to our food was met. It was Mother who kissed our boo-boos and our hurts from the playground. It was Mother who made sure that we had shoes upon our feet. It was Mother who helped us to see to it that we had the clothing that we needed. It was Mother who helped us with our schoolwork. It was Mother who took us to Sunday school. And to every mother that's here today and you're bringing your kids to Sunday school, let me compliment you. I think there's a vast difference in bringing your kids to Sunday school and sending them to Sunday school. Oh, the impact of a mama that shows up in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night to set an example for her children and her grandchildren. It was Mother who took us to Sunday school. It was Mother who taught us the greatest lessons of life, like be kind, be clean, be good, be honest, be quiet or be beaten. Oh, the impact that Mama could make on our lives with those little lessons that she gave us. It was Mother who laughed with us. It was Mother who cried with us. It was Mother who loved us even when we failed. Your mother may be alive to this day and able to still help you and be a blessing to you and to all the young people and to all of you where Mama is still alive. You better thank God that Mama's still alive and you love on her and you cherish her and you take good care of her. Your mother may be here today or she may be in this area where you could contact her or see her easily. But yet there are some, their mothers live in other countries and some that live in other parts of our country, but near or far, she is still your Mama. Your mother may be old now and unable to care for you, and the roles may have changed. It might be that you're caring for her some now, but she's still your Mama. Your mother may have passed away and be in heaven already, but she's still your Mama. I see in Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 6, a little passage of Scripture, and I use it as the text of my sermon today, where the Bible says, the voices said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodness thereof is as the flower of the field. Here the Bible talks about God is comparing good things to flowers. He said all the goodness thereof is like the flower of the field. I don't think there's any better human goodness than a mama. Oh, mama. Mama's all about goodness. And mama, if you're not, you ought to be, because that was God's original intent in regard to creating a mama. So if God compares goodness to a flower, then I think it only just and right that today I could compare motherhood to a flower. In the early 1900s, back when Mother's Day was virtually established as a holiday, they picked the flower called the carnation. A white flower originally was the flower for Mother's Day. I have one of those white carnations here with me this morning. It's a beautiful flower. Originally, the carnation was considered the flower of Mother's Day. Its whiteness speaks to us of the purity of motherhood. Its form and the way it's structured tells us of the beauty of motherhood. Its fragrance is a fragrance of love and beauty. a carnation can grow in vast or a variety of places, and it tells us of the giving of a mother, how she can meet the needs of so many. Its long-lasting ability tells us of mother's faithfulness. You know, a carnation can last and last. It's a pretty rugged flower, yet a beautiful flower. It is a flower that is tough, yet a flower that is tender. Its scientific name is Dianthus cariophyllus. I almost called the sermon today Dianthus cariophyllus, but I thought you dumb bunnies would never know what that meant. Plus, I had to phonetically spell it out on my page to say it myself, and so that's the flower, the carnation. I hope you'll allow me today, but I am going to be extremely practical and extremely simple, because the title of my sermon today is this: Mother is like a carnation. Mother is like a carnation. See, another one's how. How is mother like a carnation? Well, when we see the passage of Scripture in Isaiah chapter 40, the Lord said, goodness is like the flower. And if goodness is like the flower, mothers are those who influence our world for goodness. And I see why they would pick a flower, and the flower of a carnation, especially as the flower of Mother's Day, and to represent mother. A carnation's whiteness reminds us of the purity of motherhood. And that's my first point this morning. That beautiful white carnation there. That white carnation reminds us of the purity of motherhood. The white flower reminds me of cleanness. This white flower reminds me of the Virgin Bride's beautiful white dress of purity. Mothers were created to be clean. Mothers were created to be pure. Mothers were created to promote purity in life. Yes, I realize there are some mothers who have given motherhood a bad name. There are wicked mothers, like the wicked Jezebel of old. There are those wicked, sin-cursed, whiskey-soaked mothers who dare to tip a bottle of devil water rather than tipping a bottle of milk to a baby. Indeed, there are those wicked mothers. But let me tell you something. The number of wicked mothers is few in comparison to the number of good mothers. I believe this. I believe that no man truly respects his mother who does not lend himself to high regard of all women, because no mama would want other women to be hurt. Thank God for the moms who influence us, young and old, to be clean and white and pure. Thank God for Mama who told us to wash behind our ears. Or if you like, wash behind your ears. Not only did she tell you to wash behind your ears, she checked. Come here, boy. Let me see. Moms even know to ask this question. Did you wash? Uh-huh. Did you use soap? Uh-huh. Mother is the one that influences to be clean like the whiteness of the carnation. You know, I understand why in the early 1900s someone took a white carnation and said, we will deem this the special flower for Mother's Day. We're going to make this that special. And they chose the color white on purpose. Why? Because it's Mother that taught us to be clean physically. It is Mother that taught us that we ought to use clean words. It's Mom that told you shouldn't say that. It is Mom that told us to be careful with our words. Now, my mother never helped to clean the inside of my mouth with a bar of soap, but I know some who have. You young people, you don't know how good you've got it. Because in the earlier days, if you cursed or you used bad words, your mother would wash your mouth out with a bar of soap. That's tough. Anybody here ever experience any of that? Well, God bless you, you honest people. That's good. It is Mother. The whiteness of the carnation expresses to us the purity and the whiteness of motherhood. It was Mother who tried to get us to clean our rooms. Did you notice I said tried? I wonder how many moms here throw their hands in the sky and said, I just can't seem to get it done. But that thing of the clean room, it was Mother who wanted us to have clean minds. It was Mother that wanted us to have clean lives. You know, I said this earlier as I was introducing the mothers, but let me say it again. A little typology that's found in the Bible, and it's scriptural and it's proper. But the Bible talks about our God. Our God is a God of three parts, if you will, or three personalities. We call it the Trinity. The first of that word, you see the prefix tri, T-R-I, meaning three. Our God is a three-part God, but yet He's one God. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In the home, you see God the Father, that pictures Dad. You see God the Son, that pictures the children, which by process of elimination leaves God the Holy Spirit as being Mama. Thank God for the spirit of woman. Thank God, the Holy Spirit, you see, mothers, the Holy Spirit lead Christians to be pure. The Holy Spirit is the one that convicts us on the inside by His very presence. He convicts us to do right. Ladies, it ought to be that you would strive to have influence on man, your children, and mankind, that your very presence produces a desire of purity. The Holy Spirit leads man to be clean. Mom is to be the Holy Spirit in her home, leading the family toward purity and leading the family toward cleanness and whiteness, if you will. She should be like the Holy Spirit in the church. Ladies ought to influence their church to be holy and clean. Thank God for the ladies around here. We don't have a bunch of temptresses around here causing our young men and our men to lust. No, our ladies are concerned about purity and propriety and decency. And every church in America needs a batch of women that will hold the standard high in regard to purity and honesty and goodness and cleanliness. You see, the Holy Spirit of the home is Mama. Mama is the one that helps to add that white purity of the carnation. She ought to add that purity to home. She ought to add that purity to the family of God, making clean the attitude of the children, making clean the attitude and the spirit of the congregation. Hey, there's nothing better than a congregation full of godly, chaste, clean, pure women. Nothing greater. Nothing greater. But I'll tell you this. Nothing worse than women in a congregation that are not that. Nothing like a woman that uses her words and they're clean and they're decent and they're not gossip and they're not backbiting. Nothing like a woman that has a chaste conversation, yet nothing like a woman that's got a sharp tongue that attacks and criticizes and gossips. Nothing worse than the dirty mouth. Nothing better than the clean mouth of a woman. A woman can so quickly silence the negative, the dirty in a church, but a woman can so quickly stir up and make things worse than what they ought to be. Thank God for the carnation. Thank God that they picked the white carnation, because you see, the carnation's whiteness reminds us of purity, the cleanness that God intended for the woman. Secondly, the carnation's flowery petals remind us of the beauty of motherhood. Boy, if you took a good look at those petals on this flower, just like a snowflake, no two petals exactly the same. They come together in a combination and they are so beautiful. Take the time to look at that white carnation and you see beauty in the flower, just like we're to see beauty in motherhood. There's not a more beautiful face to a child than its mama's face. I was, in the last couple of days, my family and I went down to Bible college graduation, and we watched my daughter and J.D. Elswick graduate from Bible college. I was sitting at the table, and my granddaughter, Alexandra, was there. Her mama, Corey, came over, and I watched Alexandra, and she would take her hands and rub her mama's face. Now, Alexandra's only 8 months, 9 months old, but I'd watch that 9-month-old little baby just touch her mama's face. Just the touch of mama's face was important to that baby. Now, let me tell you something. No matter how old you get, just the touch of mama's face still means something. I say to you, it's a beautiful opportunity. That face of Mama is so beautiful. The first face that so many get to see. They're born and handed straight to Mama. They open those eyes, the very first face they see. But you say, Brother Owens, my Mama's getting older, and now she's gray, and she's wrinkled. Oh, those are beauty marks. Those are beauty marks of love. Those are beauty marks that Mama has paid a price to be your Mama and what she has been through. You see, the carnation's flowery petals remind us of the beauty of motherhood. Motherhood was intended by God to be beautiful. The carnation's flowery petals are very beautiful. A hen and her chicks are a beautiful sight. I seen a cow as I was driving the other day with a brand new calf, and I watched that calf's legs just staggering as Mama was leaning over that calf, licking that calf and encouraging that calf. And once again, I was reminded of the beauty of Mama. Mary and baby Jesus in the manger are my favorite parts of all Christmas decorations. I like to see baby Jesus, and I like to see Mary, and I like to see that unique and special, pure and clean relationship. Oh, how motherhood is beautiful, like the beautiful petals of the carnation. A mother bathing her infant child is a beautiful painting. A mother tucking into bed her little blonde-haired daughter at night is what an attractive and gorgeous sight. A mother singing Jesus Loves Me as a lullaby is a marvelous musical ministry of motherhood. Mothers, like the carnation, make life beautiful. A godly mother can beautify a rough day. A godly mother brings beauty and peace to a frustrating day. A good mother can take an ugly situation and make it beautiful. Moms, you should beautify. That's what the carnation does. You should beautify. Moms should beautify their marriage for the example of their children. Moms should beautify their surroundings for their children and those around them. Moms should beautify their homes. Moms should beautify their community. Moms should beautify the workplace. And moms should beautify your family. And moms should beautify life for your children. And moms should beautify the relationships of life. And moms, thank God for them, they beautify the church and the work of God. You see, the mother, the carnation, it's white. And the carnation's petals are beautiful. It's no wonder that they picked the white carnation to represent motherhood because of the beautiful petals. It's no wonder they picked the white carnation to picture motherhood because of the purity and the cleanness of that white carnation. Not only that, but thirdly, the carnation's fragrance reminds us of the love of motherhood. Oh, the beautiful fragrance and the smell of flowers. I don't know if you know it, but the carnation's family tree is a bit of a famous one. If you were to study the carnation and study a little bit about this particular flower, it actually comes from a clove tree of the tropics. And that's where the carnation comes from. And the clove tree, the tree from which this flower is taken, it produces clove, or it produces a fruit, if you will. And that clove tree has a beautiful, beautiful aroma. Hey, the flower and the scent of the carnation may be faint to some flowers, but the tree from which it is taken and the tree from which the carnation's origin is found is a beautiful tree, and it smells, it has a fragrance that's incredible. No wonder the carnation was picked as a Mother's Day flower. No wonder its whiteness. No wonder its beauty. No wonder its fragrance. Why? It reminds us so much of Mama. Motherhood makes our world smell better. Mom can take a stinky day and make it smell sweet. Moms are the perfume of life. There may be no smell more powerful in our lives than the scent of a mother's influence. Moms give life an aroma of sweetness. Moms make our homes smell good. Moms make our attitudes smell better. Moms make our clothes smell good. Boy, I said it not long ago, but I've got to say it again. I look forward to the springtime. At our house, we had a washer, we had a dryer. And through the winter, Mom, of course, would take care of drying the clothes in that electric clothes dryer. But when the spring hit, on purpose, I can remember my mom taking our clothes and by hand on the clothesline. Now, young people, a clothesline is something that's in the backyard out of doors. It's stretched between two poles. They've got these little things called clothes pins or clips, and they put those on the clothes, and it hangs out there, and God becomes the clothes dryer with the wind. And I can remember my mama on purpose, when the spring would hit, where it was dry enough outside, she would take our things out and hang them. But I'll tell you the part I like best is when Mom would take my sheets and my pillowcase and take them out, let them dry on that clothesline. And I can remember that very first time slipping into those sheets and putting my head on that pillowcase, knowing that Mom on purpose knew that I'd do this. I would go. It meant that much to my mom that my sheet would smell good. Boy, isn't that the way mamas are? The things of life that men are too busy for, the things of life that men are uninterested in, thank God for mamas, we'd all smell bad. Some of you could have used a little more time with your mom in that area. Moms, like the fragrance of the flower, the clove tree from which the carnation comes. Oh, thank God for the fragrance and that sweet smell of life that mothers add to our lives. Moms make the sour smell sweet. Moms make the church smell sweet. Moms make Sunday school classes a sweeter place to be. Moms are the air fresheners of our lives, like flowers. Moms make our country smell good to the other countries of our nation. Moms bring the scent of cologne to our catastrophes. Moms make our world a good-smelling place. You know something? No nation reaches greatness without the influence of a mama. It is mothers that influence a nation. It is mothers who help rear great boys and great daughters that turn around countries and influence the world. It's mothers. Oh, Mom, don't you take too lightly your job. You say, but Brother Owens, I've been changing diapers and wiping runny noses. You are forming the character of the leaders of the next generation. Mama, don't you take lightly all the trips back and forth to the soccer games. Mama, don't take lightly every trip that you take driving your kids down to the youth department. Somebody's got to influence our little boys and our little girls to do right and to act right and to dress right and to smell right and to be good. Thank God for Mama. Thank God for Mama. Thank God for Mama who makes life a sweeter place. Mama, the fragrance of life, the perfume of the family, the one that adds cologne to the catastrophe. Thank God. Thank God, many a great man, as he stands at the pinnacle of his career, turns back and says, I thank God for my mama. I thank God for my mama. I really don't know. I really don't know how much my personality is likable by people. But I can tell you one thing. I have my mom's personality. My mom, she just gets along with people. People were important to my mom. I, to this very day, I know of nobody on the face of the earth my mom couldn't get along with. She got along. Hey, if she had an enemy, it was their fault. It was their fault. I watched my mama go through thick and thin, and I just watched my mom, and her spirit was unbreakable. When I was growing up, I thought, boy, I'd like to be as tough as my mom, but I'd like to be able to make sure people know that I care and that I'm interested, and I don't want a bitter, nasty spirit in life. I don't want that. I don't want to live that way. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God for mamas. Thank God for mamas that have that sweetness about them and that sweet aroma of a godly attitude. Thank God for it. See, the carnation's fragrance reminds us of the love and the sweet fragrance of mama. But not only that, Not only is Mama like a carnation because of the whiteness and the purity of motherhood, and that she's like the carnation because of the beauty of the petals, and she's like the carnation because of the fragrance of the love that she spreads. That clove tree from which the carnation comes, that clove tree also produces a medicine. They take from the clove tree that produces this particular flower, and they take its clove, or what we might call the fruit of that tree, and they use it for medicine. Oh, are mothers not our doctors and nurses in life? Mothers have to learn how to do it all. It's amazing what mothers can do. Now, some mothers forget what they can do when dad comes around, and I understand that a little bit, but it is amazing what mothers can do. But maybe the best doctors and nurses on the face of this earth are not people that went to school for 8 and 10 years to get a doctor's degree. It's moms who had kids playing in the backyards throwing rocks. That's what rocks are for. But not on the church property. That clove tree from which the carnation comes, the one about which we speak today, that clove tree, they would take its fruit and they would make medicines in the tropics out of that fruit. Moms are like our band-aids in life. A mother's help heals a headache better than aspirin. Mothers are like health-achieving medicines. Mother's knee is the emergency room of life. A mother's glare can be just like an x-ray machine. You know, moms have a way of not saying a word, but just looking at you, and you realize, I'm pinned. You know, they just have that way. And moms have that unique ability. They've got two or three looks, and they look at you, and you know exactly what they're saying. Kids don't even have to learn to talk in life. All they got to do is look at their mom and say, I better not do this. You can tell. But mother, like a doctor, is so much like an x-ray machine. She can look at you and look right through you. Mother's advice is like a healthy multiple vitamin that will help make you strong. A mother's touch can heal a wound better than stitches. Mother's prayer to God is like a 911 call to the ambulance. A mother's love is like a miracle antibiotic that can heal what the doctors could not figure out. A mother's kiss is like the balm of Gilead. A mother's mind is to be a spiritual first aid kit, constantly thinking in her mind and in her heart, what is spiritually the need of my child? What vitamin spiritually do I give them? A mother's influence can rid your attitude of infection, hatefulness, bitterness, and unforgiveness. A mother's kindness is more gentle than cotton and gauze. A mother's correction can sting like methylate. They still use methylate? How many of you have ever heard of the stuff called methylate? Okay, that's good. I just wanted to make sure. And they phase some things out in life. But you know this stuff called methylate, if you don't know what it is, it's in a little brown bottle. And this is what people tell you. They put it on a sore and it helps to cleanse and et cetera. But you know, here's what they tell you. You know you're in trouble when they say this is only going to sting a little. Why did they qualify it as such? Why did they say just a little? Because they know what's coming. Thank God for every mama who put the methylate on. And then she did this. Oh, the gentleness of mama blowing the sore because she knew that the medicine burned. Hey, mama, can I tell you something? When it comes time to apply the spiritual medicines of life, wouldn't hurt after you've applied the medicines where you've taken a stand for right that you just took the pain away by reminding of the love of a mama in spite of the need of the medicine. A mother, much like the clove, and the clove from the carnation was used as a medicine. Oh, mothers are so much like the medicines of life. A mother's resolve is like a successful tourniquet. A mother's opinion can cleanse us like peroxide. And there are some mothers that bubble up just like peroxide with joy. A mother's care is better than the care of a nurse. A mother is like a carnation. I have something I want to read to you. Some of your mothers are going to associate with this very quickly. It's called The Evolution of Mom. The Evolution of Mom. Now, I don't believe in evolution in regard to the human race at all. We did not come from monkeys. We came from mothers. And I think evolution is a slap to a mother's face. I really do. But when we go through this process, or not we, when you go through this process of motherhood, I qualify that because our world's becoming so perverted, there's no telling what our perverted scientists will do next. I think women are supposed to have babies. Let me show you a little something about what we call the evolution of mother. Yes, parenthood changes everything, but parenthood also changes with each baby. Here are some ways having a second and third child differ from having your first. Your clothes. During your first baby, you begin wearing maternity clothes as soon as your doctor confirms the pregnancy because you're so excited. For your second baby, you wear your regular clothes for as long as you possibly can. Your third baby, your maternity clothes have become your regular clothes. Not only that, how about the baby's name? The first baby, you pore over baby name books and practice pronouncing and writing combinations of all your favorites. When it's time for your second baby, someone has to name their kid after your great Aunt Mavis, so it might as well be you and get it over with. Your third baby, you open the name book, close your eyes, and see where your finger falls. Balambo was a perfect name, and that's what you named your boy, Balambo. Not only do we see this process with the baby's names and clothes, how about preparing for the birth? First baby, you practice your breathing religiously because you know how important this is and natural. Your second baby, you don't bother practicing because you remember the last time breathing didn't help him yet. And with the third baby, you ask for an epidural in your eighth month. And don't even care if you need to breathe. How about the baby's wardrobe and clothing? Your first baby, you pre-wash your newborn's clothes, you color coordinate them and fold them neatly in the baby's little dresser drawer. When the second baby comes along, you check to make sure that the clothes are clean and discard only the ones with the darkest stains. By the time you get to the third baby, you're figuring it doesn't matter if boys wear pink or girls wear blue, it really doesn't matter, just get the kids some clothes. Your worries as they progress. Your first baby, at the first sign of distress, a whimper, a frown, and you pick up the baby. When the second baby comes, you pick up the baby. When her wails threaten to wake your firstborn. When you get to the third baby, you teach your three-year-old how to rewind the mechanical swing. The activities. Your first baby, you take your infant to baby gymnastics, baby swing class, and baby story hour. On your second baby, you take your infant to baby gymnastics. On your third baby, you take your baby to the supermarket and dry cleaners. The going out. On the first baby, the first time you leave your baby with a setter, you call home 5 times in the first 30 minutes. On your second baby, just before you walk out the door, you remember to leave a number where you could be reached. On the third baby, you leave instructions for the setter to only call you if they see blood. And then finally, at home, your first baby, you spend a good bit of every day just gazing at your baby. On your second baby, you spend a bit of every day watching to be sure your older kid isn't squeezing, poking, or hitting the baby. On your third baby, you spend most of your day hiding from the children. Oh, how motherhood is. The carnation reminds us so much of this thing called motherhood. Because of its whiteness, its purity, its cleanness. The carnation reminds us of motherhood because of its beauty. The carnation reminds us of motherhood because of its fragrance and its beautiful smell. The carnation reminds us of motherhood because of the medicine of motherhood and the medicine that comes from the carnation's fruit. The carnation reminds us of motherhood because it grows in many places. And it tells us of the ability of Mama to spread herself thin. And Mamas adapt very quickly. You see, the carnation has the ability to spread out and give of themselves. They grow in a variety of settings and in areas where other flowers might not grow. They adapt and they adjust. Like a flower, so is the mother. Flowers give as others as their main concern. If you think about it, the flower's beauty is not for the purpose of the flower. The flower's fragrance is not for the purpose of the flower. The flower's beauty, the flower's fragrance, the flower's ability to adjust so it can give its beauty. It's all about other people. And boy, if that's not a mama, the flower just gives and gives and gives and gives. It's mom that is the great giver of life. Moms are the givers of life. Like the carnation gives, moms give life. Like the carnation gives, moms give us Knox blocks. You all know what Knox blocks are? That's where they put something in that jello that makes it extra wiggly, but not too much. I'm in a jam here. Well, if you don't know what Knox blocks is, you need to have your mom make you some Knox blocks. Mothers give. Mothers give birthday parties. Mothers give spit baths. There's nothing like having your mom say, "Oh, you're dirty. Here, let me spit on you." You know how moms are always licking their thumb and licking their fingers and wiping your face? Moms give birthday parties. Mom gives spit baths. Moms give us our clothes. Moms give us our spankings. Thank God for the moms that have the good sense to do so. Moms are the ones that give us cookies with big chocolate chips in them. Moms are the ones that give us dreams to fulfill. Moms are the ones that give us our favorite toys. Moms give us bacon. Amen. Oh, moms are the ones that give us the lessons of life. It's mom that gives us a penny for the gum machine. Now I think it's a quarter. But it's mom that when we're leaving the store and we run to that little machine and we see all those toys or the gumball, it is mama that digs into her purse, even if it's her last nickel, to make sure we can buy something from that little machine. It's mom that gives us the bath that we need. I have to tell you this, I probably shouldn't. I was driving home yesterday from down in Kentucky, and I called my mom, and I was spending some time with her on the phone, and I told her, I said, "Mom, I'm afraid that tomorrow I won't get as much time as what I'd like, so I just want to talk to you for a little while." And Mom said, "Oh, Jeff, I'm so glad that you called." And it's obvious she wanted to talk, and she needed to talk, and so we talked, and we talked, and we talked. And we talked, and then my wife talked to my mom for a little while, and then she gave the phone back to me, and finally Mom said, "Honey, I'm going to have to go." That's odd. She never has to go. And I'm thinking, I wonder what's wrong. She said, "Well, Grandma's been in the tub all this time, and I'm afraid I better go take care of her." My mother is taking care of my grandmother, and my grandmother can no longer take care of herself, and she popped Grandma in the tub, came to talk to me for 45 minutes. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Grandma was already kind of wrinkly, crinkly. I'm just hoping Grandma's okay. Couldn't believe it. It is Mom. It is Mom that gives us those much-needed showers and baths. It is Mom that gives us inspections after those baths. It's Mom that gives us hope when we seem to be hopeless. See, like the flower is a giver, and the flower gives and gives and gives. It gives its scent. It gives its beauty. It gives its purity. It gives itself as it adapts to many situations in life. It is Mom that gives us popsicles on a hot summer day. It's Mom that gives us Jiffy Pop popcorn. I can remember growing up how important. I remember, any of you ever see a Jiffy Pop popcorn commercial? They still have Jiffy Pop popcorn. This little pan, and they give you a little pan, and you put it on the stove, and it pops up, and this great big thing of aluminum foil pops with it. Some of you, it's like microwave popcorn in its own little makeshift pan. I remember the first time my mom let me get Jiffy Pop popcorn. I thought that was the greatest thing, the greatest invention. That was better than going to the moon. You can't eat the moon. You can eat Jiffy Pop popcorn. It's mom that gives me godly advice. It's our moms that give us those special little dresses that are so gorgeous on our little girls. It's mom that lets you get a goldfish and tells you not to overfeed it, which does not make sense until the little goldfish's belly is floating at the top of the jar. It is mom that advises you to give it a burial at sea. It is mom that gives us their great examples. It is mom that gives us character, that tells us to get up and get started and work hard and tell the truth and be good. It is mom that gives us Kool-Aid so we can stain our upper lip with a purple mustache. It is mom that gives us the answers to the question why. I wonder how many times mama hears the question, why, mama? Why? 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 Why, mama? And mama answers. And what does dad do? He says, get away from me, kid. And then dad says, go ask your mom. It's mom. It's mom. It's mom that gives us of her time. It's mom that gives us wagon rides in our little red wagon. It's mom that gives us puppies and then tells us we're going to have to feed that puppy and make sure the puppy does not starve to death because of our lack of character. It is mom that gives us a kitten. It is mom that gives us French fries and tells us not to get it on the seat of the car. And we get it on the seat of the car anyway with our ketchup. It's mom that gives us candy and then tells us that our teeth are going to rot out. It is mom that gives us support. It's mom that gives us smiles like the flower. It gives and it gives and it gives. It's mom that gives us lectures when we don't feel we need them. It's mom that gives us memories. It's mom that gives us a second chance, and a third, and a fourth. It's mom that gives us a fifth chance, and a sixth. It is mom that never gives up, that if their child is still alive, that God wants to do something with that child. It's mom that gives us cupcakes with sprinkles on top. It's mom that gives us love, a godly love, and a deep love, and a true love. It is mom that helps us to develop our love for people. It is mom that helps us to develop our love for God. It's mom, she gives us her tears. It's mom that gives us strength. It's mom that gives when they have to give. And it's mom that gives when they don't have to give. It's mom to whom we can say, Mom, can you give me $5? Somehow, she always struggles to find it. It's mom that gives us godly understanding, and it's mom that gives us Easter baskets. Look, kids, if it weren't for mom, your dad would just give you a dozen unboiled eggs. It's mom that gives those Easter baskets, and it's mom that works on those Christmas stockings, and it's mom that gives us warnings. You make that face, one of these days your face is going to stick like that. Now, have you really ever seen that happen? Well, in a couple of your cases, it looks like something bad happened when you were a child. It's mom that gives our bedroom inspections. It is mom who makes for us hot chocolate and puts marshmallows in it when we were sledding in the snow. It's mom that reads us bedtime stories, sometimes the same story, over and over and over again by request of the child. It's mom that took us to Dairy Queen. It's mom that gives of herself. Moms give us encouragement to go on, and moms give us the belief that we can succeed, like the carnation. The carnation gives and gives and gives of itself. Not only that, the carnation's ability to last reminds us of the faithfulness of mothers. You see, a carnation is a long-lasting flower. It's tender, but tough. Its sweet smell does not fail easily. Mothers are the same. Motherhood is a beautiful thing, and it's long-lasting. I'm going to give all the adult ladies here, I'm going to give you a white carnation as a gift to take home. When we purchased them, over 300 white carnations that we found. But you know something, as I gave myself this concern about the freshness of the flower, I also knew this. If we bought them on Friday, the carnation is such a durable, faithful flower, it will still be fresh and beautiful on Sunday morning. They use them for corsages and boutonnieres. Why? They're so faithful to their color. They're so faithful to their beauty. Oh my. I think I see why in the early 1900s someone said, hey, let's make the white carnation the flower to reflect motherhood for Mother's Day. Why? Because the flower is faithful. The carnation is faithful and unfailing. Like the faithfulness of a carnation, mother is faithful when her child is sick. Like the faithfulness of a carnation, mother is faithful when the bills need paid. Like the faithfulness of a carnation, mother is faithful even when she is weary. Like the faithfulness of the carnation, mother is faithful when others are not faithful. Like the faithfulness of the carnation, mother is faithful and she won't give up. Hey, let me recommend something. If you're an unwed mother, you've lost your husband for some reason, let me advise you. You make sure if the day comes that you marry for your child's spiritual needs. Because a mother is faithful to be more concerned about how her decisions will affect everyone else than herself. Mothers are faithful to give. Mothers are faithful to forgive. Good mothers are faithful to church, and mothers are faithful to train their children. All the faithfulness of mother. Mothers are faithful to keep the things around the house and the children clean, and mothers are faithful to feed the children, and mothers are faithful to fathers, and mothers are faithful to believe, and mothers are faithful to invest. Mothers are faithful to care for the kids. Hey, and they care about who the kids associate with. Some of you young people, your mother says, I want you to be careful around that person, or be careful around this person. You ought to thank God your mom cares enough to say, I want you to be careful who you're running with and who you're around. Oh, the faithfulness of mother. Mothers are faithful to get the kids back and forth to school. And oh, you moms, thank God for you. Thank God that the car has been turned into a taxi as you run the kids back and forth to school on Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday and on Thursday and on Friday. And to those of you that are faithful on Monday to take them their forgotten spelling paper and you take it into the school. And then on Tuesday they forgot their lunch. And thank God that you're faithful to go down to the ball games and faithful to bring them into Young Fundamentalists and faithful to bring them to King's Kids and faithful to get them in for teen soul winning and faithful. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God for our mothers. Thank God for our mothers. They're faithful. Mothers are faithful to God. And we thank God for the mothers that are faithful to God, so they're setting an example for their children to be faithful to God. You see, the carnation in the early 1900s was picked as the flower that would represent Mother's Day and motherhood. Why? Well, the main reason why is because I think that God said that goodness is reflected in the flowers, the beauty of life. And God decided that He would let the beauty of life be compared to the flowers. And one of the most beautiful things of life is motherhood. A carnation's whiteness reminds us of the purity and the cleanness of mother. The carnation's flowery petals remind us of the beauty of mother. The carnation's fragrance reminds us of how mother makes life smell better. The carnation and its flower produces a medicine like the clove of the tropical plant from which the carnation comes. Thank God for our mothers and their healing. The carnation reminds us of mother's ability to spread out her love and to give and to give and to give in life. The carnation reminds us of mother's ability to be faithful. And just hang in there, a mother and the flower. Mothers, I hope somehow as life progresses, when you see the carnation and you see especially the white carnation, you're reminded it's a picture of what a mama is to be. I don't know that it's true today, but I know in the 1900s this flower that I hold in my hand was to be a representative flower of mama. I hope you're reminded of the qualities of mama. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, mama, could I recommend that you get saved? Give your children a mama on the way to heaven. No child wants their mama to be unsaved and die and go to hell. And I don't say that to mar the morning. I just say that because your children love you and they want you to be saved. If you're here and your mama is a saved lady and she invited you to come to church today and you did it in honor of mom, I'll tell you what, mama would like for you to get saved because no mama wants their child to die and go to hell. If you're here today and you're not right with your mama, I'm not going to say that everything your mama does is right. I'm going to say to you, though, she's always your mama. You need to love her. You need to love her. You need to respect at least one thing. You ought to respect the fact that she gave you the very life that you have. And if you, hey, if you're a saved person and your mother you think is the worst person on the face of this earth, let me tell you something. She gave you the very life that made it possible for you to get born again. You're going to go to heaven, and you could have never gotten born again had you not been born the first time. Now you get to go to heaven. Why? Because mama gave birth to you. Mama gave birth to you. Some of you ought to come down here and pray for your mama today. Maybe she's not here. You got to come and pray. Maybe when you call her this afternoon, you got to give her a call and say, Mama, today I prayed for you. I prayed for your health. I prayed for your needs. Again, if you're not saved, we welcome you to the Savior. If you are saved, maybe you need the altar. Maybe somebody here needs to get something straightened out in regard to mom. I don't know. But we're going to have an old-fashioned altar call. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.